I can only take from that that John was under tremendous pressure to claim that he was Christ. You say, well, why are you preaching? What's all this gathering of the multitudes and baptizing them to repentance? You're calling them out of Jerusalem and Judaism. What are you doing, John? And John, in this confession here in verse 20, and he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. Can you see there the double emphasis? He was so pressured to deny Christ, but he chose to confess Christ.
Welcome, as always, to Let the Bible Speak, and this is Ian Gollaher. Thank you for joining with us on our program as we open the Word of God to truly let the Bible speak. And our message today is on humility in evangelism, taking our cue from John the Baptist, and we're going to see this marvelous humility in this man. Also in the program today, I'm going to have an open letter to our Prime Minister on the subject of medical assistance in death, MAID as it is called, because there is now a movement to extend this to more vulnerable people, including the mentally ill and perhaps other categories of people who, for subjective reasons, perhaps would consider ending their lives and seek to do it medically and legally within Canada. So I want to read this letter of my concern and what I believe is the concern of many, many Canadians across this country on the direction that this Liberal government is going on this issue. So firstly, let me read the Bible here, John chapter 1, commencing at verse 29. And this is about John the Baptist. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. The next day, after John stood and his two disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Now that, of course, is our desire to see people follow Jesus. But we need to take our cue from John the Baptist. We need to learn how he ministered. And one of the great marks of his ministry was humility. And in our message today from the pulpit of our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, British Columbia, we are focusing on the words, ministry, life of John the Baptist. May the Lord bless your soul today through his word.
Our radio ministry, of course, is ongoing, and everyone rubs shoulders with somebody through the week who needs to hear the message that the Lord Jesus saves. But surely we can learn today of evangelism from John the Baptist. The Lord Jesus said of him that there was none greater than John the Baptist. Now, he had a very short ministry. It would appear to be a matter of just a few months, but it was very effective. He was a self-made man. He was not the prodigy of some institution, but rather he came out from the wilderness, called the people together, preached the Lord Jesus, and baptized many. And amazingly, the people flocked. They came out of cities, Jerusalem, Judea, to hear John and to be baptized of him. Indeed, his ministry was so effective that the Pharisees in Jerusalem, they sent a deputation to go and interview John and firstly ask him the question, "Who are you?" That was their first question. Who are you? Are you the Christ? Are you Elias? Or are you that prophet that should arise? And at that moment, if John had been a man who wanted to be popular and famous, he could have snatched the opportunity, but he did the opposite. He said, "I'm not the Christ. I'm not Elias. I'm not that prophet. I am but a voice in the wilderness." And we see John's humility. We add to that another statement that he made, "I must decrease, but he, Christ, must increase." He said, "I am not even worthy to unloose the latchet of a shoe." Such is the deep humility that we see in this man, John. And it is that humility which is the chief mark of God's servant. Any man, any missionary that has ever been an evangelist to bring the gospel to the souls of men have had to be broken, bent, and brought to the place of their own emptiness, that they're just the messenger to preach the Lord Jesus to men. And this is the issue that we need to look at today. Our evangelism will only go as far as we deny ourselves in the service of the Lord Jesus. God is looking for servants who will deny themselves and give all honor unto the Lord Jesus. And only then are we fitted to serve the Lord. And the real problem to evangelism is our pride. That's enemy number one. Why is it that we don't talk about the Lord? It's our pride. Why is it that we're not willing to bear the reproach and the mockery of men? It's because of our pride. And we need to learn this today from John the Baptist, that we are but a voice crying in the wilderness, that we are nothing, but the message is everything that this world needs. So I want to take up today this theme of humility in Christian service. I think there is nothing more obnoxious than a proud person telling other people to repent. You see, the man needs to match the message. And John the Baptist called people to repent. His baptism was a baptism to repentance. Therefore, the man himself must be walking humility and display that grace in his life, and he did. We need practical humility, turning down honor and fame. And I come back to the question that these interviewers gave unto John, "Who art thou?" And they had all these ideas in their head. They had these three particular personalities, the Christ, Elias, or that prophet. And as I said, it had been very easy for John to assume the position of Christ. After all, the Lord Jesus had warned that in the last days there would be many Christs, false Christs who would arise, and they would proclaim and pretend to be the Lord. But John was of a different ilk. He was not a false prophet, but the real thing. Now, if you look at verse 20, I want you to notice what really is a very confusing statement when you read it. It says in verse 20, "And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. I can only take from that that John was under tremendous pressure to claim that he was Christ. You say, well, why are you preaching? What's all this gathering of the multitudes and baptizing them to repentance? You're calling them out of Jerusalem and Judaism. What are you doing, John? And John, in this confession here in verse 20, and he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. Can you see there the double emphasis? He was so pressured to deny Christ, but he chose to confess Christ. Now, you'll be in that situation probably this week. You'll not walk very long in this world until you're in the very same situation where you'll be under pressure, or a situation will be for you to claim something that you're not. But you have to stand up for the Lord. Now, the temptation would have been very great to a lesser man, but John denied himself and refused any suggestion that he was the Christ. He confessed and denied not, but confessed. And you can see the tension in that statement. You can feel the pressure that he was under. I am not the Christ. That's the final line. And he is not hiding it for a moment. Now, this is the model that every would-be servant of the Lord must follow. Whatever the pressure, whatever the seeming advantage of the moment to make a false confession, we must run from that. Let me ask you, are you ready to make a bold confession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and to deny yourself? That's what evangelism requires. That's what being a messenger of the Lord requires, that you take your stand. Then in verse 21, the question was, art thou Elias? And it would have been very easy to assume the place of Elias. This was the expectation of the Jews due to a number of prophecies, particularly Malachi, that in the last days, Elias or Elijah would reappear on the scene of this world. And again, the Lord Jesus taught in Matthew 11, and I need you to look this one up. I can't just paraphrase this because we won't get it. Matthew 11 and verse 10. Matthew 11, 10. And here is the Lord speaking concerning John the Baptist. Matthew 11, 10. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias. What? Here's the Lord Jesus saying, John the Baptist is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Elijah coming into the world, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Can you see now that it's no surprise that those who were sent from Jerusalem by the Pharisees to interview John asked him pointedly, are you Elijah or Elias? And John said, no, he did not make the claim. Well, first of all, he was not physically in the body of Elijah. There were many things about John that were Elijah-like. There were many things about his deportment and his message that was Elijah-like. Elijah was the one who called out kings and queens and the prophets of Baal and had them put away. John the Baptist had a ministry of repentance to put away idolatry and sin. He was like Elijah, but he did not boast in it himself. Do you see the humility in the man John the Baptist, even though the Lord Jesus said it, and even though the question now is put to him, he answers, "No, I am not Elijah." But John, in his humility, did not see himself as a mighty man, did not see himself as some great instrument of God. He was very humble about himself. And so he refused to take this honor to himself. And that is what godly people do. Godly people don't brag about their gifts and their talents. And, you know, aren't you so happy that God sent me to be your preacher? They don't brag and boast, but rather they are burdened about the message. And that's what keeps me in this pulpit. I'm burdened that men and women, young people, get the message. And my prayer is always that you get the message, that the gospel gets into your heart, that you become a Christian, that you are saved, and that you abound in grace. Is that happening? You see, it's not about the messenger, it's about the message. And of course, the message is Jesus is the Savior. He's the Christ, the Lamb of God. Then the other question came, art thou that prophet? In John 1:21. Now that was a prophecy from Deuteronomy spoken by Moses. And he said, another prophet shall God raise up unto you like unto me. And therefore the question is put to John, art thou that prophet? But again, John was not assuming any of that, and he turned it all down. And when all the questions dried up, he simply stated, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And here we see that the man perfectly matched the message. He came to preach repentance. Matthew 3, verses 1 to 8. His baptism was unto repentance. Bring forth fruits meet for repentance. This was a whole change in life. This was no longer living to the flesh, but living in surrender to the salvation and saving grace of the Lord Jesus. And this is the message that we still preach to the world today. What is the primary message that we are to bring to a proud, sinful world? Repent. Repent. And when the church ceases to preach the message of repentance to the world, she has lost her message. She's worried about the messenger, or worried about her image. Who are you? And forgotten the content of the message. And as evangelists, if we be witnesses for Christ, we are to take that place. Are we ready to die to all self-ambitions, self-importance, to practically bear the cross and the shame, to be living witnesses for the Lord? And again, I say it, enemy number one to evangelism is our pride. And until you pray that pride out of your heart, until you get serious about your guarding your name and your reputation, and you're willing to lay that on the altar and die to who you are in the eyes of this world, you will not be an effective messenger for the Lord. And it is that humility, that brokenness, that emptiness of self that will make us effective. Because let's face it, how can you sit beside someone and talk to them about their sin in a proud manner? You can't do it. You can't do it. You'll be called a hypocrite. But when you sit beside someone and you tell them of your own need of the Lord's grace and pardon, that you are yourself but a sinner saved by grace, and that you are yourself empty and broken and worthless. Then you can begin to talk that the Lord can do for you what he's done for me. His grace is able to transform you and to save you and bring you to the cross. That's where we need to be, the place of humility, that we might be witnesses for the Lord Jesus.
I'm not sure if the general public is fully aware. In fact, I fear they are not, that the Canadian Liberal government is proceeding to introduce further expansion of the MAID program. That's medical aid in dying. And it will be included for extra and other categories of people, including the mentally ill. This week I felt burdened about the matter and I decided to write to the Prime Minister. And I want to read to you this open letter to Mr. Trudeau. I write this open letter to you about the grave concern held by multitudes of Canadians over your government's proposal to extend medical assistance in dying to those who are not at the end of life, including the mentally ill. The recent questionnaire to be submitted to the Department of Justice, Canada, by January 27, 2020, has highlighted the rapid pace by which MAID has been introduced and the plans of government to extend it to the most vulnerable in society, even when facing imminent death. Rather than a serious attempt to proceed with caution, seeking the true welfare of all Canadians, the questionnaire appears to be a launching pad for your government to proceed with such legislation, which has already been adopted, sadly, in the province of Quebec. The lack of publicity surrounding this questionnaire, kept within a two-week deadline, and the ambiguity of the questions reveal a lack of interest in thorough consultation with all Canadians. Would you dare make this a policy for re-election? I think not. Rather, it is perceived that this trend to broaden the scope of patients who receive medical assistance in dying is quietly being advanced with an attempt to keep it under the radar of the general public. The fears that arise from this proposed extension to MAID to those not at the end of life are real and substantial. The present use of MAID has already been open to abuse and caused fear to the elderly and division among medical personnel who are called on to provide MAID or to provide referrals. Vulnerable people who are isolated, enduring ill health, though not life-threatening, may be encouraged to choose any legal option, without which they would be of a different mind on a better day. Many people get through periods of suffering to enjoy a good quality of life, but if MAID was their choice, they and their loved ones would never know that potential outcome. Then there is the inevitable fact that over time MAID will become the accepted norm for all categories of people who will feel that they can use their own autonomy to end their life for purely subjective reasons. That is not the Canada we know nor want. Sadly, there are reports from within the medical profession that MAID has already been included as part of palliative care. All clear-thinking people know that these two should be kept completely separate. But with the usual shortage of funding, lack of facilities, shortage of staff, and the increase in the cohort of the aged, MAID and palliative care will all the more become merged into one. This is already happening, to the consternation of all who value the right to life. The whole concept of MAID is often promoted as a personal choice to die peacefully as opposed to die without dignity in intolerable suffering. That is not the case. when proper palliative care is administered, and it is not the case for those who trust in the Lord as their Savior. There is hope for the suffering and the dying. Let me quote that what a renowned gospel minister testified of what often happens at the point of death. The power of our holy religion comes in. How calm, how resigned, sometimes how triumphant, how ecstatic is the frame of mind of the departing believer. I never heard one of them regret that he was a Christian. In time, when we sift what they have done and believed, and when they tell no lies, for the naked truth comes up before them, I have heard them glory in belonging to Christ and in resting in Him. But I have never heard them regret that they did so. Our religion is not all of the future. It is not a thing of dreams concerning the world to come. It gives us present joy, present strength, present comfort, and we commend it to you most heartily. For this is our duty, to be witnesses for Christ. I ask that you and your government take a long step back from this decision and revert to the well-tested position of a medical system based on the Hippocratic value of doing no harm, and that focuses on healing while minimizing suffering, not hastening death. Yours most respectfully, Reverend Ian Gollaher, minister of the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, British Columbia. Well, that's my letter to our Prime Minister, and I trust that you will pray that God might turn the tide on this matter, and that this, which is fearful to many, will not become the position across our great nation. May God turn the hearts of many to truth and righteousness in this matter. If you would like to listen to this again or to read a copy of this letter and have a downloadable printable copy, go to our website, ltbs.ca, and there you'll get the information. Just go to the news button and look for Letter to Prime Minister. Thank you for joining with us today. May the Lord encourage your heart. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.